problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
A Long Goodbye, a short story by John Foster. In the taxi from the station, the mobile phone in his pocket gave its petulant chirrup yet again. He flipped it open. 2 missed calls and 3 text messages, all from her. The taxi dropped him on the forecourt to the block of flats. He walked up to the first floor, despite the weight of his suitcase, to avoid a conversation with the garrulous German woman from the floor above, who was standing waiting for the lift. He was not in the mood. I should be feeling on top of the world, he thought, but instead I feel like this. He had hardly got his key into the lock when the door opened. She was standing there, waiting like a sentry. She must have extrasensory perception. She embraced him as though he had been gone for a month, not 2 days. He smelt the garlic on her hands and groaned inwardly. Chili con carne or spaghetti bolognese. Again. God, what's in the suitcase? It looks as though you packed for good, not just 2 days. Nick looked away and rubbed his hand across his mouth. I didn't know what I'd need, so I covered all eventualities. She led him by the hand into the kitchen. I made your favourite.
Oh, what's that?
You know.
No, I don't.
Chili con carne, of course. You always love it. You clamour for it.
Ah, chili con carne. Yes, my favourite. I'm not very hungry, though. I had something on the train.
Oh, I told you I was going to cook dinner for you when you got home. I thought we'd eat in the dining room, as it's a kind of a special occasion.
No, let's just eat in here. I don't feel like a big fuss.
Whatever you like. Pour some wine, then. You must be ready for it. Ooh, that sounded a bit naughty. You're probably ready for that as well, if I know you. Although, recently...
Nick frowned and turned away. Through the dining room door, he saw that she had laid the table with the best cutlery and a centerpiece of red roses. Crystal glasses glinted in the candlelight. A selection of cheeses stood ready on the sideboard, alongside what looked like a tarte aux pommes.
I've been tired recently. Too much work on.
Ah, Valpolicella. Lovely.
He took 2 glasses from the kitchen cupboard, poured wine into them, took a sip, and grimaced. Karen was busy stirring something on the hob. Even from behind, it was obvious that she was smiling. She was almost doing a jig as she stirred. How could anyone have such a sunny disposition? It wasn't natural, and it was beginning to get on his nerves. He looked at her bare legs, where her calves thickened unattractively, just like her mother's. They did say that all women get to look like their mothers eventually. God forbid he'd be still here to witness it. Karen rattled the cutlery drawer annoyingly and came over to the table with 2 plates of food and knives and forks.
So, tell me all about it. I'm dying to know how he got on. Your text said you thought it had gone okay.
Just the usual guff. Interview, whittling down the numbers, then a second interview.
They must have liked you, though, or you wouldn't have got a second interview. What did they ask you? When will we know?
I don't know. They didn't say. A few days, maybe.
Didn't you ask? I would have had to ask. It's so exciting. I'm so looking forward to moving out there. I can learn the language. Our children will go to school there, learn the language right from the start.
Karen, we don't have any children.
No, but we're going to. Lots and lots of kids. Actually, I've got a little bit of...
Whoa! Just hold your horses a bit. Don't go crossing bridges before we come to them, taking everything for granted, assuming everything's going to fall into place.
The smile left her face for a moment. I was only dreaming a bit about our lovely future.
Just leave it, Karen, will you? For God's sake! We don't even know whether I've got the job yet.
Nick put down his knife and fork.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm just not hungry.
I'm going to go up and have a bath. Fine. Fine.
As he walked upstairs to the bathroom, he could hear her scraping food from the plates, then singing tunelessly as she rattled the dishes in the washing-up bowl. Damn! He'd left the suitcase in the hall. Anyway, it could wait. First things first. He may not even need to unpack it. Nick lay soaking in the bath. It was quite hard to relax with all that tidying up and opening and closing of cupboard doors going on downstairs. Maybe he should have left the note, as he'd intended to do when he'd left for the interview in London. He owed her more than that, though. He remembered the last time he had written a note, 10 years ago, that time to Lizzie, the Scottish girl from Bedford. Dear Elizabeth, I am writing this letter to explain to you that I do not think our relationship should continue. I therefore wish to break it off with you. I hope you are well. Yours sincerely, Nicholas. It still made him wince 10 years later. The least he could have done was to be honest. Dear Lizzie, although admittedly you have great Charlies, I have found another girl who lives nearer to Luton, is less boring than you, and easier to persuade into bed. Yours totally and sincerely, Nick. P.S. Your Glaswegian accent was beginning to get right up my nose anyway. Still, on the other hand, a note might be for the best. If he told her to her face, there would be a scene. How he hated scenes, and this would be the mother of all scenes. New job, new country, new home, new phone, new start. That was what he needed. Maybe a note after all, then. She was faffing about in the bedroom now, more opening and closing of drawers and wardrobes. There was a light knock at the bathroom door. She came in.
I've unpacked your suitcase, darling. I put the dirty things in the washer and the clean things away.
Damn, there went his quick escape strategy. She blew him a kiss.
Cheer up, it might never happen. I'm off to bed now. You coming?
Well, one more night wouldn't hurt. He could put up with that. He would pretend he was off to work in the usual way, then come back when she'd left and pack in a more leisurely and considered manner. Yes, that was better. He was too whacked for a late-night elopement anyway. He climbed into bed behind her, hoping she was asleep. She wasn't.
So, why didn't you tell me they gave you the job?
They didn't. I would have told you. What do you mean?
I just checked the email, and there's one from Exxon with the contract attached for you to sign and return. It seems to assume that you already knew.
He improvised. Well, the boss did say I had a really good chance, and that my interviews went very well, and so I was very hopeful, but they didn't actually say at the time. That is really good news then, isn't it?
Well, congratulations. You deserve it. I knew you'd get it.
She turned over and kissed him on the mouth, sliding her leg over his and stroking her big toe down his calf.
Do you want to hear my news, then?
You know what, Karen? I'm really tired. Can all this wait until morning?
It can wait. It's not going away. Good night, then. Sleep well. I love you, and I'm very proud of you.
Nick slept badly. His mind was racing and he could not switch it off. He got up and paced around for an hour, made a cup of tea, tried reading a novel, and eventually dropped off on the sofa. He woke about 6 with a crick in his neck and pins and needles in his foot. He made lists, what he could afford to leave behind, what he wanted to take, what he absolutely must take with him. He had several stabs at the note, none of them successful, and decided it would have to be a phone call. At least that put off the evil hour a little further. At 7:30 he made toast. Still no sign of Karen. Should he wake her? Eventually, curiosity got the better of him, and he went upstairs. Deep, retching noises were coming from the bathroom. It must be the rotten chili. Thank God he hadn't eaten it. He opened the door. Are you okay? Anything I can do? Can I get you anything? He poured a glass of water and handed it to her.
It must be the chili, I suppose. It was a bit spicy.
She shook her head vigorously and then retched again. She washed her mouth out with the water and spat it into the toilet bowl. She turned and looked at him quizzically.
It's not anything I've eaten, you numpty. I was trying to tell you all last night.
She retched again, but there was nothing left in her stomach.
I would have liked to tell you this in a more dignified way, without vomit on my nighty.
She gave a final little retch and continued.
It's morning sickness, darling. I'm pregnant. We're having a baby.
In his head, a great iron gate clanged shut and heavy bolts slid home.
You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free.
A Long Goodbye was read by the author. This was a Lucerne Villa production for John Foster Stories.